gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to another edition of His Stories Broadcast or podcast. And if we'll go straight into prayer, it would be greatly appreciated. Dear Father in heaven, we just give you praise for your love for us and that we can call you Dad. Mm. What a great God you are. Lord, I ask you just be with the few moments that we have in which we can hear how a life has been transformed by you. We just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Gil, or afternoon, or whatever we want to call it.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Yes. That's a good one. That's safe. Good day, good sir. Day. Yeah. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing really blessed. I'm doing really well. I'm very blessed.
Good.
I was just thinking this morning, there was a woman that I met over at Save-A-Lot, of all things, a place where I really didn't want to be at the time, and she was telling people as we were going through she was a cashier, mm-hmm. and we're going through the line. There are four people ahead of me, and she was naming their names, and she was saying, God bless you.
I know the one you're talking about,
too.
Do you?
Okay, yep. Yeah. And she had, long gray hair, yep. and everything. And
kind of gray hair.
Gray hair. Yeah. And I walked through, and I'm like, God just made me pause for a little bit and go, oh, what a blessing you are. And yeah. I was hoping she would say blessed to me.
Right.
But she said, oh, you have a smile. I love your smile.
Wow.
And what a blessing that was. And then we were able, no one was around. And she said, I have to be kind of a little careful mm-hmm. of what I say. But she said, we just had this ability just to talk as believers. Mm. And it was a God moment in Save-A-Lot.
Wow.
And it was just wonderful.
That's awesome.
And so I love that. That's my story for the weekend.
Well, good.
Yeah. How about you?
Are you running a sale, though? No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Save-A-Lot again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing well. It's been a hard week. Had a really close friend. Passed away this week, and so it's always hard, but there's hope in it, and mm-hmm. so just kind of working through that, and when you ask God those questions, like, what's up with this?
Why?
Don't get it, and but in all things, God is good, mm-hmm. But it's been overall a good week. It's been impactful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But enough about us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We have an awesome guest this week. She happens to be a friend. And we all, like everyone in our circle goes, yeah, what do you do? I know Joan. So that's my claim to fame. I know Joan. And so without further ado, I want to introduce our guest today to the His Stories broadcast, Joan McClendon. Good morning,
Joan.
Thank
you for having me. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Joan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and like where you're from and who your kin folks are and where you hail from and all that good stuff.
Well, my name's Joan McClendon, as you well know. Mm-hmm. I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I came here to South Bend about 16 years ago, and my husband, we just felt like this is where God was leading us to. So we and my two kids, we loaded up the car. What is it?
Loaded up the truck.
loaded up the truck and moved to South Bend. So it's been a lot of great opportunities for me and my family. My husband was working up in Michigan for a period of time.
Okay.
And he quit his job of 22 years and made a big transition in his life just this past year. So it's been a great ride. And currently I serve as the now project director for the Women's Entrepreneurship Initiative at St. Mary's College. Oh, I will be transitioning officially into that role by the end of the week.
Nice.
So very excited about that and all the new things that are happening in my life.
Cool. So did you grow up in Philadelphia?
I did.
Did
I
you?
I grew up in Philadelphia.
What, Philadelphia? Born and raised?
No.
No? Okay.
More like North Philly, Germantown area.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Well, maybe it wasn't pretty cool. We had a pretty rough life, probably lower middle class family.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Both of my parents worked. So, my dad was an alcoholic. So. So it was a little crazy sometimes in the house. So
imagine some hurt from that.
Yeah. Some hurt from that. Really struggled. I think our whole entire family, to be quite honest, struggled. Yeah. But on the positive side, we now, at least I'll speak for myself.
Right.
You know, I have a story of hope. So, yeah, so there is another side.
Yes, you know.
Dysfunctionality.
Well, how did you come to the Lord? How did you come to know the Lord?
So I guess I'll give you a little bit of backstory. I always felt like that different child, you know, the special one, the middle child, because I was actually the middle child.
And I feel you.
Well, I was the baby, so I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
You got to try it sometimes. So, it, you know, I've always kind of struggled a little bit just trying to find my way. And the same thing in school. You know, you kind of carry that middle child mentality still in school with you. You know, mindsets. So I left. My brother owned a school in Minneapolis. I guess before I even go there, I was in college, and I was a party animal in college, believe it or not. I partied a lot, and almost flunked out of school, so I partied a little bit too much. And that was just filling that void where I was struggling, and I drank a lot, and like I said, just really in some crowds that, you know, I shouldn't have hung out with. And for me, that was what I believe bringing a temporary peace or
a reprieve.
Of sorts. And so I carried that into, but I always worked. And so my brother had a great business up in Minneapolis, and I made the decision to go there in the summer. And just I'll just say this, and it's a long story, but there I met this awesome woman who led me to the Lord. Like I said, it was just a real impactful time in my life. I was very impressionable. What part of the story I didn't share was that I had this wonderful husband that was a Christian.
Boyfriend.
That was a Christian. And he was not wanting to have anything to do with me unless I became a Christian. And so I was like, okay, I guess you won't have anything to do with me. So I'm really good with myself. I'm independent. I just felt like I didn't need any other pressures. But I didn't even know what that meant to be a Christian. So that began to just unfold as I went to Minneapolis. And God sent this woman. It was an 85-year-old woman from nowhere to kind of take my hand on my journey to salvation.
Awesome.
And that's kind of the story of my life, to be quite honest. God's always just had, I could always see his fingerprint somewhere in my life. Drawing me towards him in some very small, quiet way.
Sounds like he was pursuing
you. Was definitely pursuing, and I believe that there's nothing special about me. I think that he pursues everyone. I think you just need to be aware of the signs that he sends you, or the gentle whispers, the tap on the shoulder, to be able to identify that, you know, he is saying something to you. And for me, I could have been just trapped in that wounded place where I was not open to hear what God was saying.
All right. So you're now this woman, 85-year-old woman from nowhere, leads you to the Lord, and you eventually get back to school, and now you're dating. You're now husband, and so now you're in this church world, right? You're attending church. You're part of its college ministry, understand. And so how was that working for you?
Well, let me just say this. The day that I got saved was probably the worst day, or felt like the worst day of my life to that day, because, I'm not even kidding you, because It was 105 degrees in Minneapolis. All the buses broke down.
Oh, no.
And I literally was having this conversation with God, really? Really? You know? And I had to walk from North Minneapolis all the way to my brother's house, which was probably about a good 5 miles. And everyone was walking. The buses just weren't working. Okay. But, you know, it was just, you know, like, man, I felt like I didn't make this great decision. This should have been, I thought that angels with wings and with air conditioning.
Singing
and
everything. Yeah.
I know.
Skipping through the fields.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, that's all behind. And I remember that next day I actually talked to my 85-year-old mentor, and she said that you were going to go into the wilderness after you became saved. She said, you're going to go right into the wilderness. I didn't know it was going to be as I left. As I left the hospital where I worked. So that's where she worked as well. So for me, I was not churched. My family did not. I mean, we went to church, but I was not churched. Mm-hmm. So, again, there's another fish out of water.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
So I did not grow up in the church. Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me rephrase this. I grew up in the church, but I did not adopt a lot of the doctrine. So I knew Bible books.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah. You know.
You didn't speak Christianese?
And I did not speak Christianese. I just didn't know what that meant. So
amen.
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 I just didn't you know, and I just that just wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And I would, even as a young age, I would sit back and I'd watch people and I was just like, that's just not me. You know, that's not me. And I don't know what is me, but that's not me.
Right.
And so I always feeling different in some way and not making myself feel different. It was just hardwired, and it's been my compass, you know, for most of my life. So when I got into my church, after my wonderful now husband told me to that encouraged me, not told me, encouraged me to, you know, seek the Lord and let him, you know, come into my heart. My brother-in-law started a Bible ministry and in college, and you know, it was different for me again because everybody else was on this path of church, and I'm the one who's like, I don't understand what this is. So talking about things like the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm like, what is that? You know, I don't understand what that means. And and I still was not convinced yet that it was something, and speaking in tongues, you know, I wasn't sure if it was something that I was willing to adopt. However, I began to watch individuals as they were being filled and as they began to commune and worship the Lord. I began to feel like, maybe I am kind of missing something here. Mm-hmm. So so I felt like God was still that pursuit of not just this place of salvation, but now, you know, this intimacy, you know, that like marriage, right?
Absolutely.
The wedding day.
Now it's the marriage.
It's the marriage. And I'll just say this, that my me being filled with the Holy Spirit was just like, oh my gosh, it was so powerful. I was the naysayer, like, oh, I don't feel like if I get filled, I got to look like that.
Right.
I don't look like that. Well, let me tell you, I feel like, well, I didn't feel like God really got a hold of me, and my experience was so profound that I'll never forget it. And he made himself so real to me. It was so intimate, so personal, you know. Having our children was one of the greatest experiences of our lives. It was, you know, so intimate and so personal, and it felt that way and different. And you just don't care, like, once you've experienced God in the way that, at least I'll say for me, I experienced him, you just didn't care what it looked like. And it was just so powerful. And that was my conversion experience, and then moving to more intimate relationship with him. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to delve a little bit more into this. So now we got a little bit of background of you, Joan. And so now we talked about how you came to the Lord and how you just started this faith walk and this intimacy with the Lord. When we come back from our break, We're going to talk about maybe some of the struggles that you face and overcoming it, because it's one thing to be born. It's another thing to grow. And so we'll be right back with His Stories. I'm Gil Michel. This is Kevin Michelin. And we'll be back right after this message. Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michel.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, yep. So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000
That's right.
By December 31st. And of 2016. And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to hisstoriespodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't Absolutely. Believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we are back with His Stories, and we're here with the illustrious Joan McClendon. She's sharing her testimony from Philly to Indiana, Pennsylvania, to Minneapolis, Minnesota, back to Indiana, Pennsylvania, South Bend, and the world. So Joan was talking to us a little bit before the break about this powerful experience she had with the Holy Spirit and starting this walk. After that, what are some of the obstacles that you faced in growing? Because, you know, it's great when we come to the Lord. Like you said, birth is a great thing. And then the baby has to grow up and go through changes and go through growth. What were some of the challenges you faced?
I think that some of the challenges, so I look at it as different challenges. One of it was external and internal challenges. Mm-hmm. Some of the challenges were definitely external, and maybe some of the internal struggles could be also perceived as being external as well. Mm-hmm. I know that even though I was born again, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I still felt dirty.
Yeah.
And I still felt this woundedness. I was abused by a family member. Mm-hmm. And so I was hoping in my being naive, I was hoping that the experience would have just wiped all the bad stuff away, wiped all the memories away. And in essence, it actually brought up some, but I say that in a sense that it was much needed, because if you want to get closer to the Lord, you know, you allow Him to get into those places. And some of the stuff He definitely did clean up very quickly. But then certain things in terms of my personality, you know, He had to work with me through. I can't even say I, because I just can't say it was me, you know, and I submitted myself to the process because my goal was healing. Like, that's all I ever wanted was just, I don't care how I got to get there. Mm-hmm. Even when I met with this woman from Minneapolis, the reason why I even asked the Lord to, you know, come into my life was because I wanted to be set free.
Yeah.
And so my journey has been, you know, if you say, God, that, you know, I can have total freedom, I'm believing you, and I'm not going to stop until I get there.
Amen.
So that's been my overall pursuit. And so once you get cleaned out on the inside, then everything on the outside starts looking a lot more different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for instance, I've always felt a little bit of an outside with some of the circles that I was in college. And, you know, ultimately...
You mean the Christian circles?
Christian, yes. The Christian circles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Christian circles in college for a variety of different reasons. Mm-hmm. And you got to understand, too, in college, everybody's pretty much trying to figure themselves
out. They're trying to find
out. Too,
right.
You know, so I can see that now. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that at the time.
Right.
So you just have to... But I was on this pursuit of just healing, and it was something that I just was not going to stop until I found it. So externally, again, there were some things that were that I believe that were influencing me, but I had my own feelings. I was suicidal. Sure. I struggled with anxiety and so and depression a lot. Mm-hmm. So for most of my life. So
It sounds like there's some healing that's happened.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A lot of healing has happened. I wake up and I look at myself and I am just not the same. Uh-huh. You know, I am not the same. And, you know, even when things try to come up or get, you know, rooted up, I'm just not the same. And there's a message of hope on the other side of this whole, you know, story. Yeah. So
that's one of the reasons why I love this show. We've been doing this for about a year now and a little bit over a year, and just hearing healing that takes place when someone's willing to let the Lord and have an experience with the Lord, not some religious thing, but have an experience with the Lord and a continual journey with Him. Boy, He does heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
One quick thing is I keep hearing, which I don't hear from wives a lot, but I have heard now you say this a couple times just in the last few minutes. I have a wonderful husband.
I do.
Said, I don't hear that from wives.
I do. And I will tell you, my husband has been there for me from the very beginning. And again, I don't know if he saw something in me. Obviously, he saw something in me, you know, of course. He saw something in me, and he's always encouraged me. He encouraged me to get my master's degrees, two master's degrees at Bethel.
Wow.
He encouraged me to do things that I normally wouldn't do. Yes, I do. I have a great husband. I'm so blessed.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm glad he pursued me in a way he did.
And it sounds like he is guiding you, helping as a partner to help guide you in your walk with the Lord as well.
I will say this, that we help each other, and he would definitely accurately say that. It's not without struggle. Carrie and I, we definitely have had our struggles, but we honor each other from a heart level, and that's the bottom line, regardless of all the, you know, things that are changing physically and otherwise in our lives. He's my best friend, he's literally my best friend.
That's so
exciting. And I love him. So.
Yeah. What's the key to that?
I think that I don't know if there's a key. I think one of the things that and I'm going to say this. Yes, I'm going to go for it. We had our first marriage counseling. We'll be married for 25 years this year.
Congratulations.
And we had our first marriage counseling meeting a week ago. With actually Dave Raymer, who is the bomb. I'm just going to shout out right there.
And, shameless plug.
I know. Yeah, shame. Yeah, right. And he just listened to us. Uh-huh. And he said, you two are like amazing. You already know how to work and talk. Mm. And I think we do. I think Carrie and I, we've always talked and we're committed. And I remember that first day we went for our honeymoon, we went to Mexico.
Okay.
And my husband had Montezuma's Revenge and he had sun poisoning.
Oh, no.
And he complained and whined. And we made this. And on the plane, I was like, oh my God, what did I get into? You know, this guy's going to
like the day you got saved.
I know. It's kind of like this. Yeah. And then we just vowed that no matter what, you know, divorce would never be in our language, and that we were committed to the very end. It's kind of like my salvation.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I will never turn back from the Lord, you know, because I made that promise to Him. So, and I am definitely, Him and I both believe in honoring vows.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Amen.
That's great.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, a lot has happened, and I know that you... you and Jamie, now Bingle, authored a book a few not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's powerful that your testimony alone is powerful. But then you felt led of the Lord to write a book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that book and what it's done, what's happened since you've published it?
Yeah, so the book is called A Life on the Fringe, Testimonies of Women Moving Beyond Desperation to Faith. And what it is...
That'll preach.
I know, right? And so it's the story, it's the book is centered around the woman with the issue of blood. And Gil, actually, you're part of this whole journey. I remember because of all the different things that happened to me as a growing up, I just began to ponder the story of this woman and think about her, and And so at one point in time, I felt like I was her. Mm-hmm. And to kind of put it in a nutshell, in my travels, I have had an opportunity to be around a lot of different women, and they sounded very similar to the woman. Yeah. And so Jamie and I, and again, there's a very long backstory to this, but for the sake of time, on the same day, we had a vision of writing this book for women. And the book, like I said, the first part of the book has my story. If you want to know a little bit more about my story, you can feel free to, you know, get a copy of the book. But the other part is this part two is stories of at least 37 women in our community that have written stories about a time where they were desperate and moved past the place of desperation to a place of faith. Wow. And that's the book in a nutshell. And this book has now traveled to 10 different nations. And I've had the opportunity to, and it's been transformative. And and so we're really excited because it's a book of hope. Mm-hmm. So it's a faith book, but the book brings hope. Yeah. And we basically have allowed women to, the book gives a platform for women to have a voice.
Nice.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Wow. And I can just tell you, Jonah's being very, she's being very modest, but this book has traveled, literally has traveled the world and is in some Muslim nations.
Yes.
It's
really?
China.
Yes.
It's being translated into
Chinese,
other languages.
Yes.
And so it's just amazing how God can take the life of a girl from Philly, from North Philly, and take her life and use it to transform women across the world.
And so, I want to say this. When we wrote the book, it was never, God just told us to write a book. It was never supposed to be a number one bestseller, but the impact is, it's just so many women, and I've been in constant communication with some of these women. Even now, their lives have been, they still talk about how their lives have been transformed by the book.
Amen. Well, when you hear that from different women, what are some of their responses, just real quickly? I know we only have just a minute or so.
It's been transformed. It's given them a voice, you know, and it's a message of hope, and it's been impactful to them. And and I just talked to one of the women just a couple days ago, and I for her security and safety, I can't go into all the details, but it has actually taken her out of an abusive situation in a foreign country into a place where she's free. And she has shared with me much more in much more detail how it's affected her. I mean, God is just, who knew, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I stayed around to see the end, you know? And so, I'm very happy.
That's awesome.
They can get that on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
We'll be putting a link on that. If you go to historiespodcast.com and look for Joan's testimony, we'll have the link to the Amazon, the link there so that you can actually purchase the book directly from our site. Man, thank you so much, Joan,
for
sharing your story.
This is great.
Time,
thank
you. As usual, flies. But Kevin, if you would do the honors and just closing us in prayer.
Sure. Father, I just thank you for our friend, Joan.
Yeah.
I thank you on how you've pursued her and that she is yours. Lord God, I just ask that you would just continue to bless her, to bless her journey. Lord, I thank you for those who are listening and that God is pursuing you. So, Lord God, we just give you praise for that pursuit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at historiesbroadcast.com. That's historiesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.